What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sans Vesan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends at Link Humans, where we take data-driven employer branding to a whole other level. This week, we're going to talk to the manager and operator of the rail network here in the UK. Now, this is not an individual, this is a huge organization, and we're going to learn how they manage their recruitment marketing, talent attraction, and shaping up their EVP. Let's start the show. Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Very well. How are you?
I am great, thank you. All the better for hearing your voice. So please let our listeners know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast today.
Absolutely. So, hi, everyone. I'm Phil Catchside. I am the head of recruitment marketing and engagement for Network Rail. I know that we've chatted a while now since, Jürgen. You've been really kind to get me on here today. Yeah, very much looking forward to having a chat.
Great. Okay, so let's start with figuring out what exactly is Network Rail.
Of course, yeah. So if I was to put it in its simplest term, the Network Rail provides the rail infrastructure for mainland UK. So if you think about everything that the trains run on, so things like track, overhead equipment, bridges, tunnels, and managed stations for the likes of London Euston and London Waterloo, King's Cross, those sort of stations. What we aren't are the actual train operators themselves. So we don't run the trains. We just do everything that fits around that.
So if a train is delayed, we shouldn't blame you. We should blame the operator.
Well, yeah, that can be more complex. So depending on whether it's an actual train delay or whether it might be something like a signal failure. So if it's a signal failure, a bit of equipment that's not working, that would be down to us. But if it's someone like a train that they don't have enough staff to operate that, or the train itself might have broken down, that might be the train operator.
Got it. Okay. And how many employees do you have?
Yes, we've got over 39,000, around 4,000 different job roles across the business. So it's pretty complex. Yeah, a huge business, all working to deliver for the passenger.
And so I imagine you have people out on site working on, I don't know, the rail and the bridges and all these things, as well as people in offices. Well, not at the moment. What are some of the challenges you're faced with in terms of employer brand and recruitment marketing?
I mean, what we do have as an employer brand is great awareness. So people, certainly within the UK, do recognise Network Rail. They've heard of it, or they've had something to do with it at some point, particularly if you're a commuter, you'd be very familiar with the brand. I guess some of the challenges we have in that space are around perception. And because when it comes to rail, when things go wrong, that might affect you getting home, getting to work, or getting to a place that you need to be. And that can have a negative impact upon your perception of the brand. And it's typical. We know your experience as a customer also affects your perception of what that employer brand might be as well. So people don't necessarily separate the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk to us about the strategy of employer brand, and perhaps also recap. So when you started with Network Rail, what was the role, and has it changed over time?
Yeah, of course.
Where are you now?
So I started with Network Rail about 7 years ago now. Started within the recruitment space, but I actually moved into this job role just over 2 years ago. I worked within a centre of expertise. And my role at the time was just to come in and take a look at things like our social and digital offering. What are we doing, you know, in terms to connect with our candidates? And what I found is that the actual job role itself wasn't that clearly defined. I think previously we'd worked on a few campaigns here and there, and it really just gave me that opportunity to come in and use my marketing background, but also my recruitment background, to go out and understand what was needed and how we started to shape that employer brand more positively. So in the time that I've been in role, my team's doubled in size. We've got a lot of really good integrated working across the team, but also working across the business as well. I'd say the overall strategy is just to build the experience for candidates, but also to build the experience for our hiring managers as well. But at the same time, to really build that perception. It's a great company to work for. And I think from some of the research that we've done along the way, people don't always see that from the outside. And you can talk to a lot of employees within Network Rail, and they will wax lyrical about the company. You know, it's got a really strong, positive internal perception. And it's about bringing that to life for people outside of the business. You might think of it as that sort of more traditional, a bit old-fashioned, you know, a bit stuck in its ways. And it's not really like that.
Right. So the candidate experience we're familiar with on this podcast. But tell me about the hiring manager experience. How do you work on that?
Yeah, so we've got a really interesting project at the moment. We're working with one of our routes up in the northeast. So Network Rail's our front line is divided up into different routes that work within regions. Mm-hmm. So we're working with our northeast route, and in particular, a type of job that we have struggled to recruit for in the past is a signaller. So these are the individuals that will sit within a signal box, so one of those very traditional old style signal boxes, or they might be within one of our more advanced signalling centres, our operating centres. And it's a very specific skill set. It takes a certain type of person to do it. These signallers are really skilled in what they do, really care about what they do. And I think traditionally, our hiring managers have found it very difficult to recruit consistently to those types of jobs. And a big part of that is that we've never really done the storytelling piece up front and really brought those types of jobs to life. And as a result of that, what has happened is that we've brought people into the business that just clearly weren't suited for the role. And it takes quite a while and a lot of time, a lot of investment to train someone up to become a competent signaller. So you can't afford to get, say, 3 months into it and just have that realisation that this isn't the right person. So again, that affects the candidate experience, but it also does affect the line manager experience and what they're able to see. And it's a critical role, so we just cannot get that wrong.
Yeah, of course. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned before the call around the intervention project that you're working on. Tell us more about those.
Yeah. That is a specific project that we're working on. So it's a system thinking approach. So it's about really getting back to basics and stripping away, you know, what's in play here, what's the problem, going through the diagnostics, which members of our team have gone through to really crunch down and find out what the problems have been. And we've then been able to come in as the recruitment marketing team to support on that intervention. And a big part of that is really about telling the story of a signaller and being able to communicate that to our candidates to give them a really authentic and employee-led version of what that role is about. And it's something we've not done in the past. It's always been very much about getting a job advert out and just posting and praying, whereas this has been much more about engagement, much more about a really authentic, this is what your life as a signaller would be like. These are the sort of skills that you'd need. Being honest about things like shift work that it's not suitable for everyone. Being honest about lone working because, you know, you might be 12 hours in a signal box in the middle of nowhere. Now, personally, that would just not be for me. But for other people, that's an absolute joy. And I know talking to some of our signaling teams already, you know, they love the job and it's really suited to them. But again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, if you bring someone in under false pretenses that they're going to be working within a, you know, a very close-knit team within the same location, and then they end up 12 hours on their own every shift, that's a complete mismatch and you're going to lose that person very quickly. So we're being really, really clear on just, I think the key there is the authenticity piece. And we've also tried to make that journey right the way from social media, driving those candidates to a dedicated landing page, having a really, really good third-party live chat function on there, and then taking them through the rest of the journey to make sure there's help with their application, etc. And I think one thing that my team has been really clear on, and we say this every time we meet, is let's make sure that we put everything that the candidate needs in easy reach. And that, that's really been the key principle, is just putting everything they need in easy reach, so that if they want to apply for the job, they've got everything they need. And actually, if they, after looking through the content, they decide it's not for them, then that's great as well.
So on one of these landing pages, is there a Q&A section? You mentioned that there might be a way to ask someone questions as well.
Yes, of course.
Like a wiki page?
So what we've got on the landing page is what we consider to be the main points that have come out. And we continue to optimize that page as well, just learning as we've gone along, what do people need? So we try to put that in an order that is, it's engaging, it's useful, it gives everyone the information that they need. But because we've also got our third party live chat on there as well, we're picking up the frequently asked questions that come in. Not only are those people getting a really good response with 100% of chat rate, but they're also giving us those FAQs that we can use in building future content and in optimizing the page as well. So there's a real learning process for us, but also a positive experience for the candidate, because they're getting to ask the questions and have those questions answered.
Do these very specific landing pages for, is there a select number of roles, or is it like the ones that you know?
No, it's a great question. So the landing page we have at the moment, which is the Signaler page, but we do know that we've got other interventions coming up for different roles across the company. So we're going to be using the same format and just changing the context to whatever that role might be. But also understanding that for a Signaler role, that might differ to, say, someone in finance, the sort of questions that might get asked and the type of persona that sits behind that. So, yeah we'll use the framework, but we'll obviously optimize it to make sure that it fits with what the persona will want.
In terms of messaging around the employer brand and perhaps the EVP, is there an overriding theme that you hit everyone with and then you give them personalized messaging as well, or does it always vary?
Yes, again, great question. So one of the things we contacted you about the employer brand index is that we've never done an EVP exercise for Network Rail. So it was really good to get the employer brand index completed by yourselves, because this gave some really good insights into what people perceive about Network Rail, and that will help shape things. The other thing we've got is a market segmentation project that we've done to understand the personas that work within Network Rail, but also would be attracted to Network Rail as well. And I think longer term, these types of insights will give us very much the shape of the employer brand overall and the EVP and what that's going to look like. But it's interesting. My intention at the back end of last year is that we'd really throw ourselves into getting the EVP done. Actually, what we're finding is that by stepping back and looking at these interventions and plugging into those really critical roles for the business, the findings from those projects will help us shape that EVP, you know, to an even greater level. So I think what we're going to do is focus on the interventions first. Right. And then as we get towards the back end of the year, we'll start to really focus upon the EVP itself. So it's perhaps a different way of approaching it, but I think the insights that we're getting from the interventions are just absolute gold for us. So I'd feel much more confident delivering that EVP with these additional insights.
Bottom-up approach, you could call it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And in terms of activation, so these signalers, where do they come in contact with Network Rail? Would it be on social media, or would they see ads somewhere or job boards?
Again, really good question. So one of the things we've looked at is by using the landing page, we're actually able to get some really great insights into the different channels and the different messaging that is working. Mm-hmm. And what we found, say LinkedIn, for example, would be a really, really good channel for some of our support roles and our professional type services. And actually with signal roles, what we're seeing at the moment is that that Facebook is our top performing channel in terms of reach and in terms of engagement. It's not to say that the likes of LinkedIn aren't working for us, because it's still a very successful channel, but Facebook for this particular audience seems to be way ahead of any other channel for us. But again, we're testing, and it might well be that Facebook works for us in the Northeast, but yeah, if we go down to Wales, or we go up to Scotland, or we go to the southwest of England, we might see a totally different response. So we are going to be looking to roll this out across different routes and get a good comparison there. One thing I've learned in this job is not to assume anything. The data quite often tells you something else.
Yeah, I'm always interested in knowing about your tech stack. What sort of technologies could you not live without in your role, Phil?
Yeah, so actually we're going through, again, the intervention does play into this, is that we're actually looking at some different options for a full tech stack at this moment. So we use Oracle for our applicant tracking system at this moment. Yeah, we are investigating other options just to bring things, just to make them even better. What I would say, again, it's probably just the marketing point for me, is perhaps less about the tech, but more about the insights that come out of things. And traditionally, I think as specialists, you always think that you have to have the answer. And actually, having more and more insights to hand, it just makes me realise that decisions in the past, how much of that was about gut feel. Whereas you can now go out to candidates, you can go out to your employees, you can get lots of really good industry insights like the Employer Brand Index. And that gives you so much to go on and so much to build your strategy upon, rather than just thinking, as the expert, I need to get this right. I think it just gives you much more confidence to really drive the right activity.
Yeah. And so you mentioned the Employer Brand Index. Thank you for doing that. So what was the reason you wanted to go through that exercise, and what were some of the takeaways for Network Rail?
Yeah. So for me, it was very much about drawing a line in the sand and just saying, look, if we're going to work towards an EVP, the first thing we need to know is where we are with things. It was really good. The amount of insight that came out from that index, very, very powerful. It told us sort of where we sat in terms of other employer brands. There was a really good breakdown in terms of the key strengths, the areas of improvement. And because we also looked at how things might differ geographically across our different regions, and that gave us some really, really useful insights. So the vast majority of the different regions were, very, very consistent. And there were just a couple of things at the top that just changed depending where you were geographically. But overall, it was the consistency that really helped. I think what we'll do is take these and use these and draw them out.
Did any of the results surprise you at all, or did they validate your hunches?
Yeah, there was one in particular. I think it was with alumni, sort of comparison between Network Rail employees and alumni. It was very, very consistent, but there were just a couple of points where there was just a slight difference. I think one of them was around learning and development. Alumni seem to score that much higher than current employees. Just a slight difference. But actually, when you looked at the vast majority of it, people that have left and no longer with Network Rail, it was fairly consistent across the board. There was just a really nice summary at the end of why people stay at Network Rail, and also why people leave Network Rail as well. This plays into the whole strategy. This can inform line managers. It can inform HR. It can inform that sort of deeper level of engagement at the top of the business. It's just gold. So I would recommend it to anyone else that's thinking about it. Bit of a plug for you there. I think we took an awful lot. And we'd certainly like to use it in the future again.
Great. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting that what you said about alumni, because the differences between alumni and employees the alumni specifically can give you an idea of perhaps why they left, or in some cases they might have a nostalgic, romantic view on their old employer, which may not be the case.
It can tell quite
anymore.
A story of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Also, I'd like to ask my interviewees on this podcast, really, what makes this role they are in so special? So, Phil, what is it that makes it unique?
Oh my gosh.
Why do you love your job?
Do you know what? I can honestly say this is the best job I've ever had. I absolutely love it. It's working for a company, and I think especially with the COVID-19, you really see how critical the railway is. And it can get bad press, of course it can. But there is such a care in our organisation about our passengers and what we deliver. And you can see that on social media at the moment, just the passion of people that, you know, were there to deliver for our key workers, to get them to hospitals, to get them yeah. to their place of work, to get them across the country. And also that essential freight, you know, we're probably all aware of things like the panic buying and just this need to get freight from different parts of the country to where it needs to be. And you can just see, not just Network Rail, but just how the whole railway family has come together in this crisis. And it's just a care for it. So I'd say, first of all, it's the absolute purpose of what Network Rail does. And then for me, it combines two real loves, which is recruitment and it's marketing. And you join those together and it's pretty magic. So, yeah, I love it. I absolutely love what I do.
Great. And now, when you said that about transporting things from across the country and helping key workers and so on, actually, I heard an ad on Spotify the other day. I think it was from Network Rail talking about key workers supporting key workers, basically. I don't know if you're behind those ads or someone else.
No, that's not my doing. But I've seen quite a lot of different stuff going out. Again, just from our roots, well, from our other digital team that just share those stories about Network Rail. So I think it's just a real opportunity to share what Network Rail does, and like I say, the wider railway family, how everyone's just come together for it.
Yeah, and it's in times like these when you realise how important the unsung heroes or the unsung functions in society. We take them for granted, but it
has, hasn't it? It's really, you know, when you look at the different job roles across the country at the moment that have become the real heroes and heroines. Just so much respect for those people. So yeah, absolutely.
Great. And now finally, Phil, have you got any top tips for our listeners? It could be, you know, feel free to include any pitfalls to avoid as well.
I'd say the first thing that I learned from, I read a book over Christmas and it was about brand storytelling. And I read it cover to cover twice within about 3 or 4 days.
What's the name of the book?
And it was brand storytelling, and it was, one of the authors is called Ekaterina Walters.
So
if you haven't got it, get it. It's just phenomenal. I would say probably the best book I've ever read that's work related, of course. absolutely phenomenal. And within that, the phrase that I picked up was help, don't sell. It's very easy to get into this thing of just broadcasting and just selling to people. And actually, what we've tried to do in our space is to help people. So to help our candidates, put everything in easy reach for them, help answer the questions they have, help them understand if that job is the right job for them. And if not, is there something else? Help your line managers and just get the best people in front of them for the job they've got. You know, and that's our philosophy in our team, is just to help and to stop this broadcasting and selling, because there's so much of that about and people tune out of it. So I'd say help, don't sell. I would say be authentic, because people are savvy these days. So it's really important that you're really genuine. And the best way you can do that is go to your employees and get them involved in any of your marketing. So they are your best people to go out and actually help other people understand what their job role is and help them to understand the business. Yeah, and then I'd say the last bit is probably just use insights. You know what the questions you're trying to answer, and don't just rely on that sort of gut feel. So there's so much good information out there. Like I say, the Employer Brand Index, I'm a big fan of. Yeah, use that data and don't just make the assumption. There we go. They would be my three anyway.
Nailed it. Thanks, Phil. Fantastic. So final question then is, where can our listeners connect with you, and is there anywhere they can learn more about the work you do at Network Rail?
Yeah, so I would say just on LinkedIn. So if you have a look, Phil Catchside, head of recruitment marketing for Network Rail. Yeah, get in contact. Always happy to sort of share ideas or answer questions, and vice versa, just to follow people and learn from them. Every day you're learning, aren't you? So yeah. LinkedIn, that's the best way.
Perfect. All right, thank you so much for your time today, Phil.
No, you're welcome. No, thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, folks, there you have it. Now, if you find yourself on a train service that's on time, then feel free to reach out to Phil and say thank you ever so much for the hard work you and Network Rail are doing. If it's not on time, then of course reach out to the train operator. If you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, if you enjoyed this episode, then look at employerbrandingpodcast.com. You'll have lots of links there with places to subscribe at, such as Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher. And if you, just like Phil and Network Rail, would like to research your employer brand, get some data, some science instilled to all the hard work you're doing, do check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our way of measuring and giving insights into an organization's reputation as an employer, seen by employees, alumni, as well as candidates. That's at employerbrandindex.co. And that was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and catch you next time. Hey-do.
What do you call an angry pig?
No idea.
Disgruntled. Hey. There you go.
Yeah, very good.